Welcome to another edition of the Ground and Pound Show here on barnburner.ca. With me is Rory Mitchell, our MMA boxing wrestling insider, Mitchell Report Unleashed. And welcome back to the airways, Sarita from TSN, story editor from TSN. Let's get to Sarita. I know we interviewed you on Fired Up, our daily podcast, but you're also a huge MMA fan, right, Sarita?
Yes, I used to be really involved in watching the UFC. I actually watched it the first time we came into town in Toronto, and I thought it was exciting, a new sport to watch. Recently, they've been kind of watering down the pool, having a fight every other Tuesday, every other Saturday, every other Friday. It's hard for me to keep up, but I still do enjoy watching the fights when they're on and when they're exciting cards. So I do enjoy the fight better than wrestling when you didn't find out until later that it was fake.
All right. Of course, Rory, we got a big UFC 216 this Saturday. You're actually in Detroit for to cover the Hell in a Cell for us. And actually, I got you a pass for Detroit Lions, Carolina Panthers. All right. First of all, Rory, before we touch on the UFC 216 this Saturday in Las Vegas, are you going to be dressed like Cam Newton?
No, sorry. I highly doubt that. His swag and his getup is a little different to me. Anyways, this is an MMA show we're doing.
No, I gotta ask Sarita there. She's a lady. Now, how Cam Newton dresses for all these press conferences, do you think that's good, or do you think it's just show and tell?
No, I think he's fabulous. I think he's a fabulous human being, and the NFL
what?
Has had... I do. Have you seen Russell Westbrook? Have you seen all these guys in the NBA come in with their swagger? And NBA has its way of letting their guys dress the way they want, talk the way they want, and be who they are naturally. And lately in the NFL, there has been such a downside off the field. And if it's something with him wearing a weird hat, a weird pair of shoes, go for it. Why not? Have personality. You don't have to be like a typical NFL player. And especially when you're a quarterback, you're supposed to dress a certain way. You're supposed to act a certain way. And I get it. On the field, be professional. Be the guy that everyone looks at because you're the guy at the helm. But off the court, when you're coming into work, be who you are. Obviously, be professional. But if you want to show a little spunk, go for it. I'm all about it.
All right, Rory. See, you gotta wear the hat, the shoes. You gotta look the part, Rory. Come on,
Rory, be the weirdo with the little towel in your head and tuck it in your shirt. You did a great job.
Hey, I'm just here so I don't get fined, okay? So I'm not even gonna engage in this conversation right now.
You don't get fined. All right, now UFC 216 Las Vegas here. Let's get to some bouts here. Fabrice Verdun taking on Lewis. Rory, I know you're a big Verdun fan. Yeah, right. Against Lewis, your call, who you pick?
Really, I don't think this card even matters. You know, Fabrice Verdun is in the heavyweight division, and, you know, Stipe, or however you want to call him, is right now at the helm. And, you know, one has to ask is, who is this Derek Lewis character? We noticed that he's sixth ranked heavyweight, you know what I mean? He's 18-5, and then you look at somebody like Fabrice Verdun, the journeyman, you know what I mean? He's 21-7-1, but it should be an interesting fight. I expect Fabrice to win off of just a submission. I don't think he's going to stand in the pocket because you see what happens when he stands in the pocket. You'll go to sleep most likely, but you know, Fabrice with a submission win most likely, and that's going to be the tell-all.
By the way, Sarita, the prelims for UFC 216 available on your network, TSN2, beginning at 8 o'clock. Mighty Mouse, first of all, Rory, you've never been called Mighty Mouse, right?
Joe, like,
Mighty Mouse.
I'm just here so I don't get fined, okay? So keep going.
Yeah, I'll find you. Mighty Mouse taking on Borg. You know, Rory, your thoughts here.
Well, he rules the 125-pound division, right? I'm not really, like, let's be honest. Demetrius is he's arguably the best pound for pound, you know what I mean? And nobody's going to beat this guy for the title unless Demetrius decides to say to himself, hey, look, my ego wants me to go up to the next weight division, you know what I mean? Which then you're going to see it can pose some problems there for him, potentially, depending on who he's going to lobby to fight. But let's be honest, you know, Demetrius Johnson is a true competitor, true warrior. And, you know, I expect another classic fight from him. Expect a dominant finish, like always. And you know what? He's gonna hold on to the title again, you know, unless, like I said, his ego gets the best of him. Maybe we definitely see him, you know. I'd like to see these guys challenge themselves, actually. You know what I mean? It's somebody that likes the fan of combat sports, sorry, is a lot of these guys need to push themselves. Yeah, you rule one division, but go up to the next weight class. Challenge yourself. Always try to challenge yourself. You look at somebody like Conor McGregor, right? One of my favorite fighters. He showcases that he can bounce from 155 to 170. You know what I mean? And even though when he lost to Diaz at 170, it was a learning curve. What happened when he fought Diaz again? He beat him. You know what I mean? So it's about learning and taking risks. And I'm a big person that's always saying, you know, in life, take a risk. Because the risk is the reward that comes with it. You know what I mean?
All right.
Put yourself in an uncomfortable position, right? Like, I like that thought. Like, even him going into the boxing world, I thought that was brave of him. Yes, he didn't win, but for a person who's never boxed in his life, and you think about it, when you're fighting in the MMA, you're using full body contact. You're using whatever you want. And being taught to use your legs, being taught to bring a person down, and having yourself mentally train yourself. Someone's coming in to attack you, and don't lift up your leg. You know how hard that is?
And exactly. To do that it's like muscle memory a little bit. You know,
yes.
So,
like, even right now, someone is coming towards me. I'm not a fighter, but I would put my legs up because it's just a way that I would protect myself. And I feel
100%.
Like Connor is such a – he's one of my favorite fighters, too. I'd have to agree with you on that, especially because all the fighters I used to watch are pretty much done. So watching him is very exciting because he's – I don't want to say because he's not – he's shorter, so, you know, when people say they're scrappy, they think it's, like, a fun word for – a shorter guy, but I think he is a scrappy fighter, and anybody who watched that boxing match, and I'm assuming a lot of people did, you got to take a lot from the way that Conor fought, and even Mayweather saw that and said, hey, he stayed toe-to-toe with me, and it was so predictable that he was going to get tired faster, because you attack until the person's knocked out. Boxing's more longevity, and it was seen, and despite his age difference with Mayweather and McGregor, I think McGregor was phenomenal.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you know, I want to piggyback off of that, and I've said this numerous times, I've said this to Joe also too, is that I don't think, and I truly believe this, I don't think Conor is going to lose another fight right now, because there's too much experience he's done in the last year and a half to make him want to lose. And the thing is, he's always has this adaptive mind that he always wants to perfect himself. And I can tell you right now, he's been quiet right now. You know what I mean? We don't know what he's continuing to do right now. Is he potentially going to be lobbying for a fight? I know we're about to cover the main event, but is he looking at Diaz? Is he looking, you know, maybe fighting Paulie Malignaggi maybe sometime next year? Right now, Conor is on the hot, like, I wouldn't say he's on the hot seat, but everybody's paying attention to see what his next move is going to be. And I'm telling you, he comes back into this octagon, God help a lot of people, because if he fights Diaz, it's not going to full five. I will tell you,
no,
it will not go to full five. Conor is a different beast right now.
He's a different beast, 100%. And you could see it the way, I didn't want mind me for cutting you off, but he did he did the whole boxing thing after trying to win two titles. I know that they had to take one away because of situations in the UFC, which I don't think are fair. I know you can't be two weight classes, and I get that. But I just think that who does that? Who challenges, like exactly what you said, challenge yourself, get into a different weight class, get that extra weight on or extra weight off, and fight people who you haven't fought before. And when he did that, and when he got those two belts, when he was the champ, that's what tells you that somebody is dedicated to the fight. And I think that it's, and where he's come from Ireland, and if you've seen his story and how he wasn't coming from like a rich family, like he didn't learn this. He learned this to sustain his life and him and his wife and now his kid. It's just, it's like, what a fun story to follow along.
Exactly.
With.
Well, here's the thing, you know, and I know we're stemming away from Demetrius Johnson, but I would like to see these guys take that same principle. Now, with Conor, he won two belts in two different weight classes. Mm-hmm. Everybody's biggest gripe about Conor McGregor is Conor McGregor has not defended these titles yet. Now, like I said, we're about to cover this main event for the interim title between Ferguson and Lee, but that's the biggest gripe. If you listen to the fanboys, you read the Reddit articles, if you read the mixed martial arts forums, a lot of people are like, well, Conor hasn't defended his title. And I get multiple conversations with friends where friends are telling me, oh, well, Conor is your boy, you know, no pun intended, but he hasn't defended his title. Like, who does that? You win titles, but you don't defend them? You can't keep ducking and dodging people, but, you know, it's a heads up where, you know, this all translates into money, and money brings the bigger fights, and the bigger fights bring the more fans, and it brings the spectacle, it brings the viewership, and the pay-per-view buy rates and the gates and stuff like that. So people want to see big-time prize money fights. And, you know, Demetrius Johnson, to circle back to him, should be looking at that 135 division. You know what I mean? Or even do a catchweight type of situation. You know, I'd love to see Demetrius Johnson's fight Cody Garbrandt or even, you know, a Jose Aldo or something like that. Make it a catchweight, you know, because even if Demetrius Johnson's 125, right, these guys walk around, he's going to be walking around at anywhere between, what, maybe 140, 145 max. So to do his weight cut, he probably has to cut about, what, 20 to 30 pounds, if that come to fight. So make it a catch weight, you know, give the fans what they want. We want to see big-time prize fights.
You think that's going to be possible? Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Joe.
No, go ahead. I just was wanted to ask you your thoughts about Mighty Mouse Sarita. Like, Rory gave his thoughts. What are your thoughts? Because arguably, maybe even, you're bigger than Mighty Mouse.
You know, honestly, I haven't watched a lot of fights recently because of the situations of it happening every Saturday, but I think all these prelim fights are what Rory was saying. When they get into that big money pocket, then people are getting more excited to watch them. And for me, I haven't been excited to watch a fight lately. Like, I know that's not fun for a lot of people to hear, especially on an MMA show, but I'm just being brutally honest, because it's like, it's so watered down with people who are just in the same weight class, in the same section. You feel like you're seeing the same names fighting each other over and over and over and not making movement. So for me, it's like, once it gets exciting, I'll watch it again when the main card is exciting to watch.
Okay. Rory, let's look at, or both of you guys, let's look at the main event here. You mentioned it could be Conor McGregor versus the winner of this bout. I don't think that's going to happen, but who do you got, Ferguson or Lee?
I want to speak to Rita answer this question first, actually, and I'll kind of piggyback off of this.
You know, I'm going to go with Lee, honestly, only because, like, yeah, his win record's not as high as Ferguson's, but he has a mouse on him. I've read a lot, and I've seen a lot. He has, I don't know, sometimes you put your money where your mouth is, and lately we've seen a lot of trash talk. I keep on going back to the Mayweather and McGregor fight, but that was covered like crazy on so many platforms because it was two different fighting styles. So watching everyone just go back at it, back and forth, I've seen a lot of he's one of those guys in those forums who are saying that McGregor hasn't won a fight. And I know he's looking forward past this fight, going into the I can't wait to fight McGregor for the actual title. I think he's going, oh, he's 1-4. The win against Diaz wasn't a real win, blah, 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 blah. But you're trash-talking one of the best fighters to believe that in his mind he's mentally better than him. And sometimes you have to have that mental state in order to get into Octagon and win these high cards, the main events, because if you're just like, oh, I'm going to win it and then we'll see what the next fight is, you're not passionate enough. I feel like in the fighting world, in the UFC world, you have to have a big head because everyone has a big personality, because you can only promote yourself. And I think Lee has done that. and he is going to put his money where his mouth is. And I know that's a bold statement, but I think that's who I'm going to go with.
All right, boy.
I like how she pinpointed that. Kevin Lee, right? And I'm going to get to who I think wins this fight. Kevin Lee is, if you want to have probably arguably one of the biggest trash talking press conferences, Kevin
yeah.
Lee and Conor McGregor will be entertaining. Okay. Here's my thing is Kevin Lee, you know, being ranked number 7th in the lightweight, and this is for the interim title. Tony Ferguson, and I will definitely say this, is a dude that you can kind of say is the baddest man in this light heavyweight division. Arguably, a lot of people would want to say is him and Khabib would have been a toss-up to see who would win that fight. Like, we circle back to Conor McGregor. A lot of people think Khabib would be the person to beat Conor just because if the fight goes to the ground, then Conor's not going to know how to defend himself, which I can agree. Tony Ferguson, and what Tony Ferguson has is an all-around talent. You know what I mean? He can not only beat you standing, but he can beat you on the ground. Very, very underrated ground game. I think that when we look at this fight here, right, Tony Ferguson, I think he's going to have enough to weather the storm. When you look at the knockout percentage, he's 48% to Kevin Lee's 6. You also sure. have to look at it at the same time is that the takedown accuracy is a 42.86% to Kevin Lee's 41.67 target. It's going to be something that's going to be entertaining. Like I said, I think Tony Ferguson is going to win this fight. He'll have the interim title. And then it's going to be next up to see when we go over to that lightweight division because right now the lightweight title holder is Conor McGregor. We don't know what Conor's going to do. So whoever the interim title is going to be, you got to automatically say to ourselves is Kevin Lee versus Conor McGregor would be big, right? But bigger from a MMA like fan or from somebody that's like a textbook wants to see a idealistic stylistic fight. I think we're going to want to see Tony Ferguson, sorry, against Conor McGregor, hopefully. But like I said, it's a toss-up right now, you know. Like, we don't know what the whole complexion that lightweight division is going to look like after this weekend. But, you know, my final pick will be Tony Ferguson. I don't know. He hasn't really shown me a whole lot, you know what I mean?
He hasn't fought as much.
Yeah, it's his mouth that's good, but, you know, sometimes if you're going to come in there and walk the walk and talk the talk, hey, some guys
we're gonna find out.
Punch you. Yeah, some people will punch you in your mouth, and I know Tony Ferguson's good for that, so
yeah,
you know, we'll have to wait and see what happens there.
All right, now, that's UFC 216. Now, just announced a few days ago, UFC 219, and I know, Rory, you want to touch on this one because you have thoughts on Holly Holm. I don't know if it's going to be the main event, but Holly Holm taking on a very big challenge, and you believe that Holly Holm can beat her.
I'm going to say this right now, okay? I'm big on Holly Holm. I got to kind of go back, dial it back a little bit. I remember Holly Holm had a kickboxing, and she transitioned to boxing background, and it would have been now 4 years ago. I made a mention to a lot of folks, and I said, listen, Holly Holm is going to be the one to dethrone Ronda Rousey if they fight, and it happened. Just because of Holly Holm is a lengthy, rangy fighter that's not only a kickboxer but has a great boxing, an amateur boxing background. This fight here with her and Chris Cyborg, I will be the first person to say this. If you want to see somebody that can beat Cyborg and hopefully weather the storm, as long as she doesn't stay in the pocket, because God help Holly if she stays in the pocket with her. She has to use her length, you know what I mean? Fight big, use your footwork, circle around, because nobody really hasn't seen Cyborg. Cyborg's the person that has one mission when she goes in there. She throws in volumes, right? Can we drag Cyborg into deep waters? Can we drag her into third, fourth, fifth round fights, right? Because we see a lot of these fighters, like Amanda Nunes, where they come out guns a-blazing, they want to stand and they want to bang with you, but then They want to go in there and finish the fight within the first 2 to 3 rounds. Let's drag Chris Cyborg and Holly Holm into deeper waters. I really feel Holly's got the tools to beat Cyborg. And, hey, if anything is – if you really want to see something that's remarkable is I think the head kick is back. Because look at what she did to Beth Correa. You know what I mean? She hit her right upside her forehead with that roundhouse. And you know what? It was midnight. You know, it was like a flash KO. So Chris Cyborg at the next UFC that's coming up in December there, it's gonna be big. Holly Holm, I would love to see, and I'm almost confidently gonna say this. I guarantee Holly Holm will beat Chris Cyborg at the end of December to close out 2017.
Now, Rory, I'm going to ask you this. Both of you guys, first I'll start off with Sarita. In your estimation, Sarita, which fighter will have a make or break 2018? Which fighter needs to, and which fighter has to have it? And let's face it, GSP is coming back out of retirement. 4 years he hasn't fought, November 4th, Madison Square Garden against Bisping. If he does win, does that set the UFC down, or does that prove that, okay, you could take 4 years off and you're still at the top of your game? Because let's face it, when he was fighting in 2013, nobody could beat GSP, even though he sort of lost but won his last bout.
Are the two separate questions?
Yeah. Basically, first of all, it's sort of a two-part question. How do you think GSP is going to fare? And the second part of it is, which fighter do you think will have a breakthrough 2018?
Well, I think GSP, you'll never know, because it's like the McGregor and Mayweather fight. Sorry, I keep on going back to it. It's like you can train, but until you get into the ring, you don't know what you're expecting. And like you said, UFC has changed in the last 4 years. The fighters have changed. You have a lot more fighters. You don't know, again, the talent level that you're going into. I don't know how he's going to fare. I want to, personally, as a Canadian, as a GSP former fan of him in the ring, I want to say he's going to do well. But, again, you never know what he's going to get himself into, because he won't know the fighter against him. He could read about him. He could watch about him. But to actually get into the ring and go toe-to-toe with a guy, it's going to be difficult because he hasn't fought in 4 years. Like I was telling you guys the other night, is he's been in a movie. Like, he went into the opposite side of just his acting, and he's not getting into the ring. He's not getting the different fighting styles. He's not getting into different weight classes. But putting that aside, if you're mentally ready, because he mentally stepped out of the ring, might have not physically stepped out of the ring. What do we know what he's doing on his downtime, right? So mentally he said he didn't want to fight anymore. So getting out of it, not knowing yourself that you're not ready to fight and not ready and wanting to fight, that's a big step. And then coming back and saying, okay, my mind is in the right section where I want to fight, it might make him stronger. It might make him want to get back and win that title a little bit more than anybody who was just fighting to fight. So bold statement that he might win it just because my heart's in there. And I think he will have that step of winning and then continuing wanting to fight, because I don't know if losing and then wanting to fight will be a thing for him.
Okay, Roy?
I'm going to say this right now, and I'm going to the middleweight division. I'm going to the dude that didn't prepare, I feel, well enough for Michael Bisping. And I feel that depending on, and I know he had a brief little injury with his foot after his last fight, that he ended up finishing. I'm speaking about Luke Rockhold. I think Luke Rockhold is the dude to watch for 2018, just because I feel he's motivated. I know he's back. This is a guy that we see get, you know, his pedicures done, right? he's all.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that.
Rory, how many times do you get a pedicure done?
I haven't got a pedicure. I told you, I'm just here. I'm here until I don't get fined, yo, okay? But anyways, at the same time, Luke Rockhold is the guy that I think a lot of people need to pay attention to, because there's a lot that this fight that's coming up with Bisping and GSP, to me, I have a strange feeling still somebody's going to pull out of that fight. It's what I see. It's kind of what I feel. My gut's telling me this. Luke Rockhold, though, you know, he lost his title against Bisping, and I'm sorry, like, Michael the Count Bisping, to me, is a guy that he's on his last legs. Now, yes, he has a middleweight title, but, you know, we look at a fight when he fought Anderson Silva, where Anderson Silva mopped the floor with him, and they still give Bisping the fight. Can GSP beat somebody like Bisping? It's yet to be seen, being inactive for 4 years, you know. Bisping is kind of a coward also, too, because he does a lot of talking, but he also ducks his fights. But he needs to fight Luke Rockhold. And I'll say this right now again, you know, Luke Rockhold was the middleweight champion, and, you know, he got caught slipping. He got caught on the chin, and it was kind of like, you know, a shocker. I remember I was watching the pay-per-view, and I said, I can't believe Luke Rockhold let Michael the Count Bisping beat him. But I will tell you this right now, Luke Rockhold is the guy to watch for 2018. And once he gets that title back, I think he's going to be hungry and more motivated and more focused to keep on putting on shows and using his pretty toes, like he likes to call it, and kicking that.
All right. You've been listening to the first installment of the Ground and Pound MMA show here on barnburner.ca with Sarita Patel of TSN. And remember, UFC 216 prelims available on TSN2 Saturday at 8 p.m. And Sarita, tell everybody how they can get a hold of you if they want.
At Twitter, it's going to be at Sarita, S-A-R-I-T-A, Y-Y-Z.
All right. And Rory Mitchell, first of all, Rory, I got you going to Detroit to cover the WWE Hell in a Cell. You're going to NFL game, Detroit Lions, Carolina Panthers. How are you going to watch UFC 216?
Well, technology, Joe. Technology.
You
know, yeah, technology.
You can't even spell technology.
Yes, you see, again, there you go again. You see, you love doing this to me. There's all different avenues and ways and whatnot. So let's always run this down because we never really talk about this, you know. You can watch it on cable. You can watch it on satellite. Or you can watch it on your TV. Or you can watch it on your app. I most likely will have my MacBook with me, and I'll have my iPad on me, and I'll have my iPhone on me also, too. So there's little ways you can manipulate the internet world. So there's stuff I can download, you know.
Well,
on
you have
my
your
iPad
dog with you right there? Will you have your dog with you also?
Hey, that's not my dog. I told you.
All right. Well, the dog's barking, so that means we got to close it. But, Rory, tell everybody you're the Mitchell Report Unleashed, and you have a special guest this week on, what is it, episode, what, 53?
Yes, Joe, it's episode 53 with Jolton Joseph Pasek from Barnburner.com.
Hold on, why did it take you 53 episodes to have me on? Why
because
is
I've
Sarita going to be?
Because I've only known you for about 2.5 months now, Joe.
So like, why aren't you, okay, 2.5 months, meaning what? I should be on 36 then, episode 36, why is this? Anyways, my question is, when are you going to have one of the best female announcer, reporters, story editors, whatever you want to call it, Sarita? By the way, don't you love her first name?
Hey, listen, I can.
You better
say
yes, or you will be fined.
No, Sarita's special. It's an honor to work with you on the first. Let me finish. You know, she's special, and it's a great, you know, time to meet. Be able to have the first installment of the show and share the platform with her. She's welcome to come on the Mitchell Report Unleashed any single time she wants to. We're both homebrew people, you know. We're both in Canada. She's in Toronto. I'm in a little tiny place called London, Ontario. So we can definitely rock, and I would love to get her on the show because we've got some stuff that we need to cover. And, you know, I know
hold on.
Pretty big.
Sarita, have you ever been to London?
Yes, I have.
And what do you think of London?
It's a quaint town.
Quaint. All right. I'm not going to mention what quaint means. But anyways, would you like to be on the Mitchell Report Unleashed?
Of course I would.
Definitely.
Right.
We're going to speak off air. We're going to speak off air because, you know, we had a little three-way conversation about a couple of
We had our own MMA fight.
Views.
All right, so hold on. Everybody wants to know, the fight was Eli Manning, Peyton Manning, and Tom Brady. All right, that was the fight. And you, Rory, said Tom Brady is better, correct?
Tom Brady's the man. That is the man. That's, oh my goodness. You know what? Okay. Anyways, yeah. I don't want to.
We'll save it for the Mitchell Report Unleashed. She better be on episode 56. Let me tell you that. Episode 56. Hey, what's your favorite number, Sarita?
9. So go back in time now.
All right, 59. Episode 59. She's going to be on 59. That will give you a month, right, Lori, to prepare good questions.
Hey, okay. I give her, listen, she can rock whatever she wants to. Like, we can definitely do this, you know? You know, everybody, I get we all have lives, and, you know, this weekend's it's a big weekend, you know. It's going to be over in Detroit. You got Thanksgiving going on for all the Canadians and stuff like that, so it's a pretty busy weekend, but we definitely make that time. We're going to set aside at least an hour, hour and a half, and,
get
a story on the platform.
I'm not at the cottage.
I got to ask Sarita, who's your NHL team, Sarita?
Mine?
Yeah.
Well, you'll find out on the Mitchell Report.
See?
Ooh!
See how, no worries. She already teaches you how to cut a promo. See? Rory, for the life of him, cannot cut a promo.
No. That's what I like right there. We'll find out on the Mitchell Report at least. There we go.
That's
there
how you
go.
Cut a promo. Anyway, speak about Sarita, I'll give you the platform. Do you want to close out the first ever Ground and Pound show? Close it out. Show him how to cut a promo.
Well, this week on Ground and Pound, the first episode, Rory and I speak about UFC 216 that's happening in Las Vegas. And if I could take a moment and just say all my condolences to those in Las Vegas. I know it's a tough time. Dana White doing big things, donating $1 million. After the UFC fight. It's going to be an interesting one for sure. I'm excited to watch and recap with you guys in a couple of weeks.
That's Sarita Patel, TSN story editor with Rory Mitchell of the Mitchell Report Unleashed. Check out the Mitchell Report Unleashed, episode 53. Hell, check out every episode. Certainly great fun. Thanks a lot, you guys. And this has been the first ever Ground and Pound MMA show here on Barn Burners.